Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen is talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz. Your place for all things smooth. With the smoothest show on the internet radio, your host, the Jazz Queen.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Sunday, August 19th, 2018. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com. Scroll down to Mike Apollo's Beautiful Day picture and click on that. That will bring you into the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485. 646-716-5485. Saxophonist Mike Apollo's new CD, Beautiful Day, is his 11th release and first in 10 years. The UrbanMusicScene.com wrote in its review, Beautiful Day is a celebration of love, friendship, and the aloha spirit. Welcome, Mike Apollo.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
There it is.
Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Wish we're all in Hawaii right now, right?
Yeah, really, really. Thank you for the interview and welcome back to the show. Now, first, I want to congratulate you on being a granddad, your first grandchild. What is his name?
Yes, Rio James.
All right, Rio James.
Yeah, he's named Rio. Yeah, R-I-O. It's actually, story behind that is my son-in-law is actually a two-time Olympic gold medalist for BMX racing. And
okay.
So we were trying to, they were trying to think of what to name his son, in, you know, and it was kind of cute. He said, well, you know, he went to Rio de Janeiro for his third Olympic, and he was going for his third gold medal. And unfortunately, in his sport BMX bike racing, he crashed, so he didn't make it. You know, so he didn't get his gold medal, but he said, you know what? My son is my third gold medal, so I'm going to name him after Rio de Janeiro. So his name's Rio. So that
How sweet is that? That's a nice story.
That's my third gold.
And I've seen pictures of you holding him on Facebook. Really sweet pictures. Yeah.
Oh, it's so great. It's a different thing having a grandchild. But then it makes you realize how old you are, too. We're talking about how I like to dance around on stage, and boy, you know, it's fun, but you know, I pay for it the next day.
Well, you know, when I see you in concert, the last time I saw you was here in Las Vegas with Peter White at Aliante, and Lori was here. She came in for the concert, and I remember sitting at the bar next to Lori, and I said, Lori, Mike Apollo has some moves. The man can dance. I mean.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really
thank
nice.
You. Thank you for that comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, so 10 years since your last CD with this new and beautiful day. Why so long?
Well, unfortunately, you know, I just got so involved in the business side of things you know, producing concerts and promoting you know, just kind of took over my life, to be honest. You know, I was doing festivals, events, concert series, and got away with, you know, my roots are, started playing and you know, being an artist and touring and just playing the saxophone, playing music. But for some reason, I, you know, just kind of got into all this promoting I was very lucky, very fortunate to do that, you know, you know, made a living doing it. And it just got to the point where my wife said, you know, honey, you know, you love playing the saxophone. You love playing music more than anything. You know, there's a lot of stress with promoting and producing concerts, of course, as opposed to when I play. I mean, like you said, with Peter White, or when I used to play with Al Jarreau, or all the other people I play with, doing my own concerts, there's no stress. I just get up and enjoy myself, you know. So, you know, now that I'm a grandpa and I, you know, turned 60 and I just made a decision, okay, let me just make another record and hopefully, don't wait another 10 years to make another one, and just try to get out and just play more, you know. Enjoy
life. All right, well, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, you are in good company on this release, Beautiful Day. Tell me about all of these artists that you're working with.
Well, again, after all these years, I made a lot of musical friends, and, you know, when you make a record, it's all about, you know, trying to get them all together and bringing their talents in. And, you know, these days, you know, just going to backtrack, you know, making a record, there's not a lot of record labels anymore. You know, mm-hmm. In fact, I owned and ran a record label, I don't know if you know, in the 90s called Noteworthy Records. We actually released Brian Simpson's first record back then. You know, so it's harder for artists to make records and fund, get them funded and put them out, you know, because there's no labels. They having friends helped a lot because it costs a lot of money to have people play and pay them and the studio time and all that. And fortunately for me, you know, all the people that work with me, you know, they basically came in and they said, Mike, don't pay me. I want to help you out. And it's such a beautiful thing, you know, when you have friends like that. So, of course, people through my career, David Benoit, Pierre White, Paul Jackson Jr., Paul Brown, Michael White on drums, and Brian Simpson, you know, they were great Karukas. I mean, they're all great, and they helped me out on their record. And I just want to say big mahalo and thank you to them. But, you know, I couldn't have done the record without my friends. So.
Ah, that's awesome. That is awesome. Okay. So now I read that your dad was your biggest influence and the reason you got started in the business.
Well, you know, I grew up in a musical family. My dad, of course, professional pianist, and raised us, and my mom, a singer. So they actually had a group together. They toured. And in fact, when we were growing up, you know, they were gone a lot, you know, on the road, traveling and stuff and performing and you know, trying to support us. We had six kids in the family. So, you know, my siblings, they all kind of got into playing music early on, piano and drums. But, you know, I never started playing music until I was 15. But it was always around the house. I mean, singing, dancing, and playing instruments and stuff, my dad playing. So when I started playing, it pretty much came naturally. And so, you know, having a dad who's, my God, he's 88 now, and he still plays better than guys half his age. You know, I mean, he always, when I do events, I try to have him play my festivals and stuff, and he always comes in and steals the show. I mean, this little, you know, guy comes in, he's 88, he walks on stage, and he just lights up the stage, and, you know, he's amazing. And the best compliment I can give him is that he gave me enough talent from his little finger, and I managed to make a career out of it. That's how great he is.
My dad is. That's
amazing.
Sweet.
He's amazing. Yeah, he's amazing, you know.
And
yeah.
I love it, too, that you guys can perform together as well. I love that.
Mm. Well, you know, and every chance I get, you know, I try to get them to come and play and you know, perform together is a funny phrase because the way I look at my dad is you know, he performs and I just kind of hang out because, you know, I mean, honestly, he's so great. He's so great that I get intimidated playing with my dad, you know, you know, so whatever chance I get, I bring him out to play, and he exudes joy. I mean, he's like a little kid when he gets on the piano, and he's an inspiration to me that way, you know. And I mean, the only regret I have, honestly, to be honest publicly, is that I should have made more recordings with him, you know. But honestly, your confession is that I'm so intimidated still by his genius, you know. I mean, it's like I don't feel like I'm worthy to record my own dad. I mean, that's the way I look at it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, does your dad still give you advice about, you know, music and writing and playing and all that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, on the new records, you know, I did a version of Europa, right? And I sent him, you know, we do different takes and stuff. So I sent him a version, and he said, son, you should have gone back to the melody again. And so I'm working with Paul Brown, and we're just about done with the track. I said, Paul, I got to redo this, my solo sax, because my dad said I should take it back to the melody. So I redid it, and that's what I did. And stuff. So, yes, he still influenced me that way, you know. Yeah.
That's sweet. That is sweet. All right. So one of the songs on here that, and this is the one I'm going to play first, Who You Gonna Call? I thought it was a cover of the Ghostbusters theme, but this is a totally different song.
Well, you know, you're not the only one. I mean, there are different people that said the same thing, right? And because it features Ray Parker Jr. on it,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So the way that came about is, you know, Ray's another great friend. I mean, you know, he's for a guy that's done so much, he's so humble. He's a sweetheart. So, you know, every chance I get to work with him, you know, we play together. And so I was working on that track, and basically, you know, I had done, did it, all the instruments myself. You know, the drum beat, the bass line, the keyboard parts and stuff.
Mm.
And then, you know, I got Darryl Williams to come in and redo the bass and make it funky. But then, you know, I said, man, I need a funky guitar player on this thing. And, of course, you know, I got a lot of great guitar player friends, and the guy Fred Schroeder that plays in my band, he's a great player. But, man, I thought it needed something special, right? So I called Ray up. I said, Ray, I got this track. Can you play on it? He said, yeah, send it over. So he said, I sent it over. And, you know, of course, it took him about 2 months to get it back to me. but when he did, I mean, if you listen to the little simple line he starts off with, I mean, it's exactly what the track needed, right? It's just a simple, funky line, and he just made the track come alive. And I said, man, that's Ray Parker. You know, only he, somebody like that could come up with a funky part. And so my dilemma was, okay, what do I call the song? And people don't realize when we record songs, and all artists go through this, is what do we name the songs? I mean, you know, and what meaning does it have? So, you know, after wrestling with all these different titles, I said, well, you know, I got Ray Parker on there. And, of course, his mantra is, who are you going to call?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
I said, well, I'll name it after Ray Parker then. So I named it, Who Are You Gonna Call?
Wow. Okay. Well, listeners, this is the Who You Gonna Call from Mike Paulo's CD, Beautiful Day. And it is a totally, totally different sound than the sound, the theme from the Ghostbusters soundtrack. Here you
not
go.
Even
Who
close.
You Gonna Call? Not even close. How awesome is that track?
Oh,
love
that's
that.
So cool. That's the first time I heard it on the radio.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that is such a nice track. That is Who You Gonna Call from Michael Paulo's new release, Beautiful Day. Totally, totally different from the Ghostbusters theme.
Oh,
I like
yeah.
that. I love the way you guys did that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a very simple, and then everybody else comes in, and then we have a little jazz changes after the funky part, so, you know,
yeah.
that's kind of what the song is about.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let me welcome Joe in the chat room. Joe is from Germany, and he is hanging out in the chat room. Welcome, Joe. Good to see you again, as always. I miss seeing you as well, so I'm glad you are here in the chat room. So, Michael, I want to know, how long have you been playing with Peter White?
I think we're going probably about 15, 16 years now. At least, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
how did you get started with him?
Well, you know, Peter tells a story. Basically, you know, I knew about Peter, and you know, it's a funny thing, because I was making, like, records before he even started, you know, with my records on MCA in the late 80s. And then he kind of came on the scene early 90s. But, you know, I was actually playing with Bobby Caldwell. I actually subbed for Boney James, you know, at the KIFM birthday bash thing. I think maybe it was 1990 or 91. And you heard me playing with Bobby, and he was like, wow, who's this guy? And then he kind of said, wow, yeah, I'd like to play with him someday. And we kind of crossed paths for the next couple, 2-3 years. And then finally, we ran into each other at the airport bus terminal in Los Angeles. And he saw me and said, hey, you're Michael Paulo. I said, hey, you're Peter White. He said, you know what? He said, I always wanted to play with you. You know, you want to do gigs with me? I say, hey, man, Peter, I love your playing. I love your music. Yeah, of course. And then he hired me for the next gig, and then that's the rest of history. And, you know, I love that guy. I mean, he's so musical. His songs are so great. And he's just, you know, we just have fun on stage. I love playing with him, you know.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Joe in the chat room says, I've seen a video of Mike and Peter White playing 2001 A Space Odyssey. That was so cool. Hopefully he will record it one day.
Oh, actually, it is recorded. We were doing that song, and I think probably one of his or my shows, and so we played it, and it's actually on my Midnight Passion CD.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's on Peter White, but the version of the song is actually on my Midnight Passion CD. It's called Millennium Swing. And it actually got some airplay back in the day. It came out in 2001, right at the millennial time. Look for it. It's called the Millennium Swing.
All right. There you go, Joe. Look for that, and you'll have that in your collection. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the next track I want to play is Keiko's Groove. Tell me about this one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, Keiko, actually, people say, wow, did you name after Keiko Matsui? I said, no, Keiko's my dog. Keiko's my dog, who I named after Keiko Matsui. So anyway, I got to tell you, it's a funny story. Should we play the song first or tell you the story now?
No, go ahead, tell the story.
So anyway, it was one of those songs that kind of last minute on the record. And you know, I played most of the instruments on it. I sequenced it, did the saxophones. And, you know, so Paul Brown had helped me mix the record and stuff. And so I kind of said, wow, I got one more song. I threw it together, mixed it in my studio, and I put it on there. And Paul called me, and he goes, Mike, you know, I don't think that song should be on the record. You got enough songs. You know, and he goes, I didn't mix it. So to him, he said, oh, it doesn't sound that great. And I said, well, Paul, I took a picture of my dog, Keiko. I put some headphones on her ears, right? And like she's listening to the track. And I sent the picture to Paul. I said, Keiko said it's her song. The song stays on the record.
All right, Keiko, that's right.
So you know, Fallen makes a song, but I, you know, hey, it's, you know what, and a lot of people like it because it's just a simple, it's a funky little song, you know.
All right. That's funny. This is Keiko's Groove. Keiko's Groove from Michael Paulo's new CD, Beautiful Day. I like that one as well. All right,
well,
I want to read
a little, it's a little toe tapper.
Yes, indeed, definitely.
You know, if you notice, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, that song, basically, there's really no improvisation on it. You know, it's just a melody and the way the song, the arrangement is built. You know, I kind of start introducing string parts and pads and everything to build up the song. And it's just really focused on that little melody in the song, so and the groove. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, all right. Ronald Jackson from the Smooth Jazz Ride did a review of Michael's Beautiful Day CD. In part, he says, Michael Paulo is one name that many familiar with see jazz easily recognized. If you are among the few who may not know him, you should definitely acquaint yourself, starting with this rich production, and maybe work your way to his start. That should paint a clear picture as to who this high-powered artist is and why so many admire him. This is Electrifying Cool Personified. You can read the full review at thesmoothjazzride.com. Ah, yeah, definitely.
That's nice.
Definitely. Yeah, really nice, really nice. Now, there's a song on here called Your Song, and this is a tribute to Al Jarreau.
It's my favorite song on the record, actually.
Well, I'm going to play that next, but tell me about your time with Al.
You know, I mean, it's probably one of the highlights of my entire career. You know, he validated me. I moved from Hawaii, you know, in the early 80s, and I was trying to find my way and see if I could make it to the big time, right? Coming from a little place like Hawaii, playing and when he picked me up and I got to tour with him for probably about 12 years, it was such, even to this day, was such an experience, life experience, personal experience, musical experience. You know, he's an incredible person, and you know, I miss him. So it was a great, great time in my life, and you know, I can think back and it just brings me joy.
Sweet. All right. And so Your Song is a tribute to Al Jarreau. So this is what we're going to play next.
Thank you.
what a beautiful song, a beautiful tribute. That is called Your Song, and that is Michael's tribute to Al Jarreau. Joe in the chat room said, such a beautiful song. That would be my favorite ballad of 2018. I don't think it can get any better than that.
Ah, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. It's been
you
a
know,
year
Al,
since.
What a, you know, yeah.
I'm sorry,
what
go
a
ahead.
What a beautiful spirit. I mean, and, you know, I just want to remember him forever. You know, on that song, I got just my band that plays with me, Ready Pretty Washington on bass, Len Richards on drums, Timo Cornwell, the pianist from Hiroshima, and my guitarist Fred Schroeders, they all helped out on that track. And of course, you know, David Benoit, you know, he just did such a great job on the piano. It's unmistakable, his sound, you know, and the way he plays. Thank you, David.
Wow. So now it's been about a year and a half since Mr. Jarreau's passing. Where were you when you heard of his passing?
You know, I mean, I'm an avid golfer, and I was actually on the golf course Sunday morning, and then I got a text, and then you know, from a friend of mine, and said, you know, Al just passed away, and I know he's been sick and stuff. So you know, I stopped playing, I cried, and I went home. You know. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had the honor and pleasure of interviewing Al when he did his tribute CD to George Duke, and that was such a pleasure. I keep that interview is like on my profile page on blogtalkradio.com, has the featured interview. I was very proud and very honored to be able to speak to him. So yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, none of that. I'm sure people talking about Aretha passing and what the other side, they say what a great person she was, what a great human being she was, you know, and Al was the same. Al was his spirit. I mean, he was just such a great human being, and he cared about you. He cared about people, cared about the world, you know, and he spoke to it with his music, and, you know, he never stopped. And that's what I always appreciated about him.
Yeah. Joe says about your playing, he has such a versatile sound that's really rare. And from my own experience, I remember playing ballads is most demanding. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, the thing about a ballad is try to convey emotion and get the message to play the melody and try not to overplay, right? And try to say what you need. It is harder, you know, to play on that ballad, yeah.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask you about your band, since you mentioned that, you know, because we don't see you. Every time we see you, the fans see you, you're either playing with Peter White or somebody else, but I've never seen you play with your band. So tell us about your band.
Well, you know, I mean, a couple of guys in the band are, you know, my Hawaiian buddies, and Fred Schroeder's guitar player, you know, he's been playing with me, you know, forever. We had a high school band when I was when I first started playing sax at 15, 16 years old, and we played together back then. So it's been 40 plus years. So he's a great guitar player. Kimo Cornwell, we played together first with a band called Kalapana from Hawaii, and they're a legendary band now. And that was from the 70s, and also we toured with Al Jarreau in the 80s. He did a short stint with Al on keyboards, and then you know, Ready Freddie Washington, he's my buddy. That's all I can say, is one of the greatest bass players and songwriters and around. Currently doing with Steely Dan, and you know, just he's my buddy, and it's always a pleasure playing with him whenever I can. And of course, Len Richards. You know, I met Lan when I first moved to L.A. in 1981, you know, he's become one of the most sought-after prolific drummers in the business today. So very fortunate to have really good friends that can play, too. And they all play with me when I can on my solo gig. So,
okay. All right. Now, you mentioned that you produce concerts and jazz festivals. So let's talk about this side of Michael Paulo. And I remember in June you had one, you were flying off to Hawaii. for produce a jazz festival. Tell us about, you know, the festivals and the concerts that you produce.
Well, I started you know, doing music, being the musical director for an event called Dolphin Days at Waikoloa Food and Wine Festival that started in the mid-90s. And then, you know, I put all the music together. I hired all the artists and, you know, brought all my friends to play out there over the span of 14 years. And then when I moved down to Temecula, I thought, well, why don't I do an event like that in Temecula? So I started the Temecula Wine and Music Festival, and that's still ongoing. We just did it this year, and we always raise money for charity. We've raised a few hundred thousand dollars over the years for different charities. So that was an event I started, and then I started producing little jazz concerts, jazz series. I started doing concerts in Hawaii, and it's been like almost 12 years now where I actually produced jazz concerts in Hawaii. I did the Pacific Rim Jazz Festival there for 4 years, I started doing concert series at different resorts around California, La Quinta Resort. I'm currently doing one at the Westin Resort in Rancho Mirage. I did a couple of series at the Monarch Beach Resort. I also produced the Asian American Jazz Festival in Los Angeles. So a lot of different things. And I was also one of the guys that started bringing a lot of music and acts to Asia and Indonesia to the Java Jazz Festival. You know, I helped get that thing started for the first 7-8 years. So I spent a lot of time, you know, booking people and doing stuff like that. And I still do, you know, but like I said, I'm trying to get on and be an artist more again, play more music.
Okay. Now, do you have a concert or a festival coming up later this year or next year?
Yeah. In fact, I'm bringing Norman Brown out to Hawaii at the Jazz at the Liliu Theater in Hawaii Convention Center. So I've been doing those concerts for over 10 years. So I got Norman coming out. I have actually in the fall, I'm doing 3 concerts at the Westin Resort that I'm producing. So the first one is actually I got Melissa Manchester, Paul Brown, Greg Karukas, and myself. And then second show is Special Effects All-Stars with Chieli Minucci, Nelson Rangel, saxophonist, Elliot Yamin on vocals, and Lau Tizer on keyboards. And then I close out the series with one of a great, great young sax player, Michael Linkton, along with Steve Oliver and up-and-coming band, the LA Collective. So I enjoy doing different combinations of people, you know, other than the usual, you know, you see the same acts a lot of times at all these events. So I like to combine people and make it different. So that's what I've been doing. So I got that coming up, and
Could you please call these other promoters and tell them that to switch it up?
Well, but I understand their logic, because in this business, I mean, you know, the reason why you get the same acts is because people want to see them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter's one of them. Peter White, so popular, people love him. And, you know, so when he plays, people buy tickets. And,
yeah,
you know,
true.
That's why a lot of these promoters, they play it safe. So they hire the tried and true artists that they know they're going to sell tickets. You know, I like to take risks, and I like to change things up and give people opportunities, you know, different kind of artists to be seen and try to develop some of the younger guys, you know. But to be honest, like a lot of times when I do that, I don't do as well as a promoter, because a lot of people that aren't familiar with them, like, they don't know who they are. When they come and see them, they go, wow, these guys are great. So, you know, you got to give some space to the younger guys and the newer acts, you know, so they can develop and their own rapport too, you know.
Yes, I agree. Well, I applaud you for that, Michael, for definitely doing that. So if we could use more promoters that would open up their doors and their festivals and their stages to these Indian
Because if these younger artists don't get have a chance to develop themselves, then everything's gonna stop. It's gonna stop,
right.
You know, because artists are like myself, Peter White, Dave. We're all getting older, you know. Norman Brown. I mean, everybody, you know, it's an older generation, the baby boomers. But we got to bring in the younger guys. You've got to bring in, you know, the Adam Hollies and the
mm-hmm.
you know Eric Dariuses and keep building them up and you know, so they continue to carry the torch too, you know. Yeah.
I agree 100%. Applause. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, Michael, where are you playing next?
Well, I'm going to be sitting with Norman September 15th in Hawaii at the Liliu Theater. And then, of course, October 27th, I've got the show with Melissa and myself and Greg Cook and Paul Brown. But this coming week, I'll be up in Yoshi's with Peter White. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'll be in Oakland at the Bay Area with Peter.
All right, cool. All right, I'm going to close the show with another song, and I'm going to let you pick it.
Hashtag from the heart.
All right, tell me about this one.
Well, that song, basically, it's something that I wrote years ago. I wrote the hook and stuff, and I never finished it, and so I doing this record, so let me finish this song. And you know, it's a beautiful 6/8 ballad. And the title, I was, you know, again trying to name the song. So I actually did a contest with my fans, and I performed
mm-hmm.
it live before the record came out. I said, you know, you guys name the song, right? So this lady, I think I was doing a concert in Hawaii, and you know, a lot of people had all these different suggestions, and it's kind of interesting to see what, you know, they feel from the song. But, you know, the one that won, she said, you know what, you know, you were playing this song, I started crying, and I had just lost my dog, and you know, there was so much emotion, and I couldn't stop crying, and you know, you always play from your heart, and you know, mm-hmm. and for me, that's one of the biggest compliments I can have, you know, from anybody in the audience, is that they feel what you do, and you play with emotion. So she said, you know, I think you should name it From the Heart. And I liked it, and then my family was like, wow, there's so many songs with the heart, from the heart, and we looked it up, and there were other songs named From the Heart. So my mother-in-law said, well, why don't you make it more updated? You know, an older woman, she said, why don't you call it hashtag From the Heart? So, you know, Twitter and all that. So it sounds like genius. So that's how we differentiate from everybody else's From the Heart. Mine is hashtag From the Heart. So hope everybody likes the song.
All right. Let everyone know where they can find you on social media and your music.
MichaelPaolo.com, of course, and my other company, ApaoloProductions.com, and I'm also on Facebook. So.
All right. Well, there you go.
Come say hi.
Michael.
Oh, and also the record's available at CDBaby.com. So if you want to, you can download it or go to cdbaby.com.
All right. Thank you again, Michael, for the interview. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Ditto.
Have a wonderful
and
day.
Congrats. You too. Congrats again on Rio James, and continue to play your music for him so he can grow up and be just like
his
granddad.
I hope to see you in Vegas soon. I got some plans for Las Vegas coming up. So, okay.
Okay, good. Sounds good. All right, thank you again. You have a good day.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. That was saxophonist Michael Paolo. His brand new release is called Beautiful Day, and you'll find that on his website, michaelpaolo.com, and CD Baby and Amazon. Joe in Germany, thanks again for hanging out in the chat room. Always good to see you. My name is Terry, a.k.a. The Jazz Queen. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz, and I look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again from Michael's new release, Beautiful Day. This is From the Heart. Hashtag From the Heart. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Follow the Jazz Queen on Twitter at @Jazz_Queen, on Facebook and Instagram at Talking Smooth Jazz, and visit the website, TalkingSmoothJazz.com.